Today is Wednesday, December the 12th. This is the Women's Chumash Shir. We're in the middle of Perek Yud Zayin of Sefer Bereishis. Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Okay, Rabotai. Last week, we started a new segment in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram, that your wife's name will be changed, just as I changed your name. This is in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Tetvav. He promised her that she will have a child. We examined this pretty closely. We elaborated on Pasuk Yud Zayin, where in reaction to the good news that Avraham had just received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah tells us that he prostrated himself, Vayipol Avraham al panav, Vayitzchak, Vayomer belibo, Halaben me'a shana yivaleid, Im sarah habat tishim teleid. So we had mentioned that virtually all of the Parshanim, all of them, in this particular time, translate the word Vayitzchak, that he was happy. Chadi. That's how Unkel is translated, and Rashi followed suit. Almost everybody followed suit. Yet, when it comes to Parshas Vayera, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a little annoyed at Sarah, who also laughs when the Malach tells her you're going to have a baby exactly in 1 year, Vatitzcha, and yet God came and said, Lama zetzachaka Sarah? Why is Sarah laughing? So we struggled a little and tried to understand what was the difference between Avram and Sarah, which led Unkelus to his interpretation. So I want to begin today just elaborating with the Ramban, also accepts this, but elaborates in general about the word Yitzchak, and he spends a considerable energy trying to understand the second half of the Pasuk, when it says, Vayomer bilibo, haleben me'a shana yivaleid, and that's not a question of doubt. Is it possible that a 100-year-old man will give birth, and a 90-year-old, and Sarah at age 90 will give birth? No, do not interpret it the way I just read it. It's wrong. I'm going to have to reread it with a different inflection. So let's read the Ramban, who, as I said, agrees with Targum Unkelus. It's page 1 on the right-hand side. By Yitzchak, Targum Unkelus v'chadi. Unkelus said that it means he was happy. V'chein hadavar. And this is indeed the fact. Ki hatzchok pa'am yomar lila'ag. There are times that tzchok is used in the context of ridicule, mocking, exactly. U'pa'am lisimcha. Sometimes the Torah expresses joy by telling us that the person was happy, laughing. And he quotes a pasuk in Mishle, and I was too lazy to look it up, and in Shmuel Bet, but then he writes in line 3, Ulefi da'ati, shehakavana b'loshon hazeh, in this case, the intention is, ki chol ro'e inyan nifla be'adam. Any time a person sees or experiences something that is what? Miraculous, unusual, litov lo, and that unusual event winds up to be for his benefit, yismach ad yimalei sechok piv. He quotes the pasuk in Shir HaMaalos, right? Az yimalei sechok pinu. Ulishonenu rina. What? With a samach. Correct, but often schok and schok, the tzadin in often interchange. Adimalei schok piv. Vahuma she'amra Sarah. This is exactly what Sarah said as well. Don't think that Sarah totally doubted this. please open up for a second to where the Ramban tells us to go. We read this on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. It is chapter Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Vav. Tzichok Osoli Elohim Kol Hashomeya Yitzachak Li. It's Pasuk Vav. Now, this Pasuk is recorded after the Bris Milah. Yitzchak had already been born. The Torah tells us, Vayomel Avraham et Yitzchak beno ben shmonat yamim. That's in Pasuk Dalid. And then the Torah tells us, Avraham ben ma'ashana bivalot Yitzchak beno. Vatome Sarah, tzchok asa li Elohim. Kol hashomeya Yitzchak li. So Rashi says, even there, what does Rashi say? Yismach olai. Everybody's going to be delighted for me. So not always do people interpret tzchok in relationship to Sarah as ridicule or doubt. Here, it would be ludicrous to interpret it that way. Why would it be ludicrous? Because she already just had the baby. So to say it's ludicrous, it has to mean, in this particular case, happy and delighted, because the baby was already born. Even though it could have meant, Kol HaShomeya, everyone who hears about this is going to ridicule me. Ah, that's impossible. That's impossible. And in fact, I told you that the Medrash that Rashi will cite shortly, that indeed, as they came to the party in Pasuk Chet, Vayigdal Hayelet Vayigamal, Vayas Avram Mishteh Gamel, Vayomi Gamel Et Yitzchak, all of the people in the town, all of her friends, her coffee drinkers, all came to the party, and what? And said, this is ridiculous. It's impossible. It's impossible that she had a baby. This must be brought in from the market. And Asufi, they purchased a child in the market. And then what happens? She nursed all of these children. And that's what it says in Pasuk Zayin. Heinika banim Sarah. Sarah nursed not only her own child, but all of those children, because they came without the nursemaids. They came just with the mothers and the kid. So there, we understand why people were mocking her. You could have interpreted Kol HaShomeya Yitzchak Li as anybody who hears about this is going to ridicule me, but there Rashi does not go that route and say it means ridicule. What does it mean? Yismach Li. People will be happy for me. So sometimes when you're very happy, you like chuckle a little when you're very, very happy. That's what the Ramban says, that it's the same chuckle, but it could be a chuckle of exuberant happiness, or a chuckle of what? Doubt and mocking and ridicule. So you just have to know which one it is in this particular context. And then the Ramban writes, Ki inyan shin emar, in line 6, Az yimalei schok pinu ulashonenu rina. V'chein asa Avraham ka'ashenem alo ze. This is what Avraham does right now as he was informed. Somach umalei schok piv. He was very, very happy, and so happy that that he was almost laughing almost. Vayomer bilibo, ra'ui zeh lischok. This episode does deserve a little laughter. Ki hu inyan nifla ma'od, because it's incredibly spectacular. Haleben mea shana yivaleid. V'im bat sarah, v'im sarah bat tishim shana toleid. V'lo yiyeh l'schok u l'simcha. This should not, you mean to tell me this type of event is not deserving, meritorious of an incredible smile and laughter that you are so happy about? Fine. So therefore, the Ramban says it's not so unusual that Uncleus interpreted it, because the word itself has a dual meaning throughout Tanakh. Certainly, when it says later on in Parshat Toldot that Avimelech saw Yitzchak and Rivka mitzachek. Well, what is that? What does that mean, mitzachek? Having a good time. You know, smiling and looking at each other very fondly. You know, that doesn't mean ridicule there. Again, you have to see the context of what's going on. Here, indeed, it could have been read both ways. We know it could have been read both ways. But Uncle has guided us, and everybody follows suit as well. Follows suit. Then the Ramban, later on, go down to about two-thirds down, where it's in bold type, Halabench me'ashana yivaleid. You have that? About two-thirds of the way down? Says the Ramban, Ein hapele b'ben me'ashana shiolid. Actually, there is not something so spectacular that a 100-year-old man will be able to give birth. That's not such a pele. Why? Ki ha'anashim yolidu kol yimei heyot bahem halecha b'nei tishim b'nei meya gam b'doros o'eila. As long as you have the ability to have relations and project under those circumstances, in that time, it is not shocking that people who was 90, 100, and a little beyond that had children. V'hine acharei ze arba'im shana, 40 years later, holid banim rabim miktura. Avraham himself fathered 6 children from Keturah when he was 140. So what's the shock that Avraham is saying, Halaben me'an, what's such a big deal? Aval, Halaben me'eshana, Shilohi holid bibachuroto min ha'isha hazot. I have been living with my wife Sarah for so many years, and if I have not been able to conceive a child with her at age 100, we don't know exactly when he got married, but it's been a while. That is a little shocking that at age 100 I will be able to have a child from her. That's the spectacular thing. That you have a child at 100 is nothing unusual at that particular time. Lots of people are having babies. And indeed, Avraham himself had children way beyond that. But from Sarah, that's a little unusual. That's a little unusual. So that's how the Ramban interprets that. Ava Amar Halaben me'ashana shelo holid bibachuruto min ha'isha hazot yolid mimena ata acharei me'am shana v'acharei tishim shepasak mimena orach nashim. After she stopped menstruating, you mean to tell me it is it possible? Ki yodake, he knew that his wife wasn't menstruating any longer. The Torah reports it. So for somebody not to menstruate, it is virtually impossible, claims the Ramban, to have a child. That was the pella, that I, at age 100, have had relations with this woman for so many years, no children. Now, after so many years, she's going to give birth, and it's chadal liyot l'sara orach kanashim. That's the pella. That is the pella. Yeah. Now the Ramban just adds, "Ulekach lo omar kein mitchila, kishene'emar lo unesaticha legoyim." Early on, when the covenant was made between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avraham, and God said to him, "Avraham, many nations are going to emerge from you." Avraham didn't smile and laugh and, "Oh, I'm so excited! I can have children." Because when he said, "You're going to have many children," what information did God not yet include? That it's going to be from Sarah. That is added now, that Sarah's going to give birth. So now that happens, oh wow, yes.
I think when the Torah tells us kind of narrative that doesn't fall on his face. Thanking God.
Excellent point.
13 years earlier,
excellent
so.
Point. Excellent point. Nothing shocking. Exactly. See, he was 86 at the time. We know that. The Torah text says it. And it didn't get like, doesn't fall on his face. Doesn't, apparently, that was perfectly normal. Correct. Yeah. Anything's possible, right? I mentioned that.
That was that Kohanim wanted to marry women from the tribe of Asher.
Right. Okay, but trust me, if I said it, if I trust you that I did say it, I guarantee it was a medrash. Because there ain't no such source in the text. That's for sure. That's for sure.
There was a source for it.
I'm sure there was a medrash, which can make you try to believe anything. Yeah. Good. That's point number one. That's point number one. Yeah. Point number two is... Yeah. So now let's continue with the text. Let's continue with the text. And there is a very, very challenging phrase that Avraham uses. Vayomer Avraham el ho Elohim. Lu Yishmael yichye lefanecha. I hope that Yishmael will survive. Okay. Your kid comes home from school and asks you, Mom, what in the world is going on? Avraham was just told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that his wife Sarah is going to give birth to a child. And the first thing that comes out of his mouth is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please let Yishmael survive. So obviously, something has to be said. So what do you want to suggest?
This is kind of like the Haftarah we read about the Shunamit when in the Parsha after Yitzchak. Anyway, it's the same thing. What do you want? And she says, I'm happy with what I have. She didn't ask for a son. Abraham says, don't kid a kidder. I have Yishmael. I want him to be well. And
that's enough for me.
Yeah.
Good. Good. That's going to be one interpretation.
Don't deceive me.
Good. Or either don't deceive me or... We'll see. That, what's your point? You're right on track for one of the perspectives. Yes.
Could be that once he has Yitzchak, he says, I was promised a son, now I have it, so the other son is not going to count anymore.
Good. That's going to be another person. He's actually concerned that perhaps Yishmael is going to die relatively soon. Because now the child that God, that he had waited for and longed for, is finally arriving. And he has no idea what God's plans are for Yishmael. And the sensitivity of Avraham to Yishmael, as we know, well documented, says, I would love a child for my wife Sarah, but not at the cost of my son Yishmael. That's good. Right on, we're going to see. Yes, anyone else? Yeah. So let's take a look and see what's happening. Yes? Because the whole unit has been Elohim. I can't answer why. The whole unit, it says Elohim all the time. I don't know why.
If you're asking for a special request.
It should have been Mor Hashem, not Midas Hadin. It's a good question. I haven't seen anybody address it, but the name in this particular unit, look at its Pasuk Tetvav, Vayomer Elohim El Avraham. In Pasuk Tet, Vayomer Elohim El Avraham. It's been Elohim with Avraham throughout this entire unit. I'm not exactly sure why. Beginning in Pasuk Dalid, Vayidaber Ito Elohim Lemor. That's a good question.
What?
Elohim. That's also a very good question. I haven't thought about it. It's a good question. Yes.
Just to answer the other question about why Avraham thought the mention
Yishmael
alive, maybe because Hashem says that his son Yitzchak would be a great nation, and he was looking to the future, thinking that the children from Yitzchak would vanquish the children of Yishmael.
Good. That's very good. We'll see. Somebody will allude to that as well. Very good. Everybody's on the mark. Good. What? That's going to be Rashi's interpretation. That's going to be Rashi's going to wind up with that, and the Ramban is going to attack it. It's a good. Everybody's rolling, Givaldic. I don't have to give the share. You can give the share. I'm not joking. Yeah. Let's take a look at Rashi. We always start with the holy Rashi. So Rashi says in Pasuk Yudchet, Lu Yishmael Yichyeh. Halavai Sheyichyeh Yishmael. Halavai that Yishmael should survive. Halavai that Yishmael. Eini chedai likabel matan schar kazeh. Eini chedai likabel matan schar zeh. I am not worthy, eini chedai, that I should be receiving such a reward. So tell me what Rashi says is running through Abraham's mind. With the reward issue. What does he know, and how does that factor in to his prayer on behalf of Yishmael?
I'm not worthy of two sons.
Exactly. I'm not worthy of two children. I'm lucky that I was granted one child. Now you're telling me another child? Not, you know, that's an awful lot to be awarded. I am not worth it. So my concern is that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will agree with me. You are not worth it. And hence, one of them is not going to survive. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is already telling him that your children, through Yitzchak, as will be emphasized later, Ki Bi Yitzchak Yikare Lechazara, Bi Yitzchak, through Yitzchak and only Yitzchak, will your children be delineated, mentioned? He knows that there is a possibility that Yishmael's gone. Why? Based on a consideration of the fact that he does not believe that he was worthy of such a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hence, he prays, Lu Yichyeh Yishmael. Please, I'm delighted what you told me, but I have one request. Not at the expense of Yishmael. Please, not at the expense of Yishmael. Yes? What?
I mean, God tells him that he's going to be, have many.
Good, but correct. But they could have come from Yitzchak. Yitzchak could have Yaakov and Esav, and that would be Hamon Goyim. And each one of those. Look at the descendants of Esav listed at the end of Vayishlach. He's got Aluf this one, Aluf that one. He branched out into tons of nations. He really did. Ministers and kings all over the place. 8 individual kings. Eila HaMelachim, Asher Molchu Be'edom, Lifnei Melach Melech B'Yisrael. So it could have been through Esav. That's number one what Rashi says. Then Rashi is bothered. Why does it have to say, that's Shari's question, Lifanecha. Lu Yichyeh Yishmael Halavai, please let Yishmael live. That would have been enough. Lifanecha, answers Rashi, Yichyeh b'yiratecha. He should live having lived a life in accordance with fearing God. And otherwise, he should follow whatever you want. How does Rashi know that Lifanecha means to follow in your ways? So Rashi quotes a case. Kimo hitalech lefanai v'heye tamim. Where it says lefanai, God says, when you walk in front of me or before me, what does walking before me mean? It means to be tamim, to be wholesome with God. Here too, lefanecha is not lefanai, but same thing. Therefore it means in terms of yirat shamayim. That's a second interpretation. The reason why the majority of Parshanim disagree with Rashi's second interpretation is because there is a very famous phrase, Hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyirat shamayim. Everything is legislated by God. The Gemara gives you very, very technical details. Ein adam nokeif etzba'o ela in kein machrizin alav numala. You don't stub your toe when you're getting out of the seat. You bang yourself against the thing. Oh, God. Unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed that you should stub your toe. That's what it is. If the Giants win or lose, it's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They win or lose. That's up to him. Whether the ball takes this bounce or that bounce, it's all up to him. But Yirat Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has nothing to do. He does not dictate a ki hu zeh, whether you choose to observe or you choose to ignore. That's totally up to us. That's the bracha of Bechira, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted us. Yes?
It says that Rosh Hashanah, but that means it's all in our hands.
We can ask, we can do tshuva, and one of the chasadim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that he grants mechila. It's a chesed.
It's a bargaining power, isn't it?
No, it's not bargaining. It's not bargaining chip means that you have a chip and that you magialah. It's not magialah. If you engage in tefillah, tefillah, and tzedakah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu might respond to your request to please forgive you. I always tell you what is, and it's borne out in halacha, this imagery that I always tell you, that we have to view this world as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's apartment. I told you that. And there is a lease, 613 clauses. If you violate a clause of the lease, you sleep in Central Park. You're evicted. And Rishonim used this to explain difficult Gemaras. That every single transgression should lead to a death notice. That's what it should. But Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mirachem. He has compassion. He knows that it's a little difficult to sustain Am Yisrael under those circumstances, to sustain the world. But Al Pidin, you deserve it. And it's all up to us. That's why many don't particularly like the Rambati Rashi's explanation. But let's see others. Okay. Yes?
Maybe what Avram's saying is that if his job in life is to be in the car of people, and here this will be like, it's like exactly opposite of what he wants to do in life. So he's saying, Lufanecha, meaning, undermine the job I've
already. That's a very good point. It's a very good point. And there are other sources in which Avraham was concerned, how will he be able to have an impact on others if his own child is less than committed unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How can you ask others if you can't take care of your own business at home? It's a concern that Avraham had, there's no doubt. But even under those circumstances, it's not up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make Yishmael a tzaddik, even for that question, even for that concern. It's not his job. So, and take a look at page number 2 for a second.
It's a little bit like Moshe's argument, people are going to look and see.
That Chilul Shem Shamayim, God does recognize. That's the Lama Yoimru Hagoyim Ayeno Eloheya. When terrible things happen to us, the Gentiles always say it. Where's their God? How come he's not protecting them? They do say that. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to. Because that leads to a desecration of his name. But it's not on account of the fact that he wants to give us an opportunity to be Chabad, to start convincing others. And that's why, something has that. That's not the reason.
Doesn't the Trump?
Yes.
What?
Doesn't
the Trump support Russia?
In what way?
Because it's
Yichyeh Lefanecha. Yeah, but it doesn't have to mean what Rashi says it. I know that Lefanecha is connected to Yichyeh. There's no doubt. but it doesn't have to be necessarily in terms of religious commitment, Rashi said. You're 100% right. So take a look at the Ramban on page number 2 on the right-hand side. Yichyeh lefanecha, pirush Rashi, yichyeh b'ereitecha, kibol hikalech lefanai. Palach kadmi. Palach pulchana. Pulchana means worship. And kadmi, pulchana, kadmi, to worship me. That's how Rashi understood. Ve'en ha'makom. And the Rabbi just says, that's incorrect. That's incorrect. He doesn't even tell us why it's incorrect, but we know why it's incorrect. Because that expression of religious commitment has nothing to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he offers another proof. Because later on it says, Ba'avur She'amar Uli Yishmael Shmaticha. Look at Pasuk Chaf. It's the first two words. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responding to Avraham. We'll skip Pasuk Yitet for a minute. We're looking at Chaf. Chaf. Uli Yishmael Shmaticha. Tell me how the Ramban uses this to prove that Rashi is wrong. To prove that Rashi is wrong. How does Ramban employ that pasuk to prove that Rashi is wrong? Yes.
Well, because if he doesn't follow Hashem, then you think Hashem wouldn't listen to him. But
you're right at the cliff with the goal.
Yes.
It says, Ishmael
Shmatich,
that means,
provide
Ishmael, I hear you.
I'm listening, and what else? That's going to happen.
But it didn't.
If it's religious life, then I thought the Baruch was lying.
But he can't assure
you. That's exactly why the Ramban says it can't be right. Mm-hmm. So the Ramban interprets it quite simply. What is the prayer of Abraham? He was afraid that Yishmael is going to die. Now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can guarantee it. Uli Yishmael Shmaticha. Abraham, I've heard you loudly and clear. Nothing to worry about that you're going to be having another son Yitzchak. That will not impact on Yishmael. He will live his allotted years. And the Torah actually goes out of its way to tell us how long he lived? He lived to 137. Vayolid banam ubanos. He had lots of children. So, and we know that Yishmael became a major nation. But it had nothing to do with whether they're going to follow God's will or not. That's nothing to do. If Rashi was correct, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be lying to him. Shmaticha, I listen to you. He'll be listening to you, but I don't care. That's not the intent of this pasuk. Shmaticha means not only did I heard you, but I have consented to your request. Yeah.
Why would Abraham want to go straight to Ishmael dying? I mean, he wanted him to be successful. He wanted him,
Rashi said because he didn't think he was worthy of having a son.
Why?
Because all of the avot have all continuously said, "Katonti mikol hachasadim." No matter whenever there is a crisis, whenever there's a changing event in their life, they are worried, am I deserving of this? Yaakov in Vayigash, as he is about to what? To come down to Mitzrayim, we will learn this in the next generation, next century perhaps. We will learn Perek Memvav. Yaakov as he's going down to Mitzrayim, before he leaves Eretz Canaan, he builds a Mizbeach. And many say, why does he to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should be worthy enough of being saved in Galut? Because who knows what happens? You go into a foreign environment, not terribly what? Supportive of your lifestyle. So you're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me maintain my lifestyle and my children. I don't want them to be totally gone. The Avot were always worried about that. Whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about to do something for them, that they have exhausted all of their merits. Katonti mikol hachasadim hu mikol ha'emet. Ki bemakli ovarti es ha'yarden hazeh. Yes.
I have a little more cynical view, as usual, meaning that...
That's typical for Elizabeth.
Has a book in what he sees the Akedah. He says, God, please don't put me through this.
Okay. You are a prophetess.
That was my one saying.
You're not cynical. Because we are going to see, Rashi will quote a midrash, that the reason why Yitzchak was called Yitzchak has nothing to do with laughing. Each letter represented an episode in his life. We're going to see. And the first, the Yud, are the 10 Nisyonot. And of course the Akedah. Good, we're going to get to it. It's an excellent point. Not so cynical.
It runs together with the theme of the Haftorah of the Akedah, where the Shunamit, when her son died, she said, did I ask you for a son?
Yes, exactly.
You
know, good.
You gave me a son.
Correct.
And putting me through
correct. The right. Avram never said that.
No,
but
right.
You never said that. But you're right. It's right. It's a someone else. We're going to get to the Rashi at the end of this unit, right here, where Rashi is going to introduce something that you said, and your comment will be right on the mark. But let's see. Yeah, Avol Peusho, just the end of the Ramban. Yichye v'yitkayim zaro kol yemei olam. All it means is that I promise you, Shmaticha, Yishmael will indeed live until the end of time. Ad yemei olam, kol yemei olam. As long as this world is in existence, there will be Muslims. That's what it is. There will be Muslims. And in fact, if you will turn to page number 4 for a minute. The Rabbeinu Bakya, later on, in another episode of Yishmael, will make reference to this particular pasuk, which we just read. Says the Rabbeinu Bakya, the episode there is when Sarah notices that Yishmael is not exactly the best big brother role model for her son Yitzchak. What? Exactly. You also use the word misakai, playing around. Exactly. Correct. But there it could have double meaning. Vis-a-vis Sarah, it was ridiculing her. You'll think your son, and vis-a-vis Yitzchak, it was just playing around. Could be both of them. So here, Sarah says, you know, get rid of him. Abraham is very upset. Finally gives in to Sarah because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do so. And the Torah says, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, Vayikach Lechem V'chem Asmai. Says the Rabbeinu Bakya, Hayah lo latek lo kesef v'zahav ugimalim noskim otam lefi shefa hamamon shahaya v'beit Avraham. If you had a son, and for some reason that son has been expelled from your home, not because of your doing, not because you've seen terrible fault in him, it's because your wife has. Now, she didn't tell you to throw him out empty-handed. You could have provided for him and given him something to enable him to survive for months and months and years. Namely what? Give him gold and silver and many camels to walk with, based on Abraham's wealth. Ki b'no haya shehit palel alav. After all, Abraham cared about Ishmael. How much did he care? He prayed, Lu Yishmael yichye lefanecha. He was so concerned that Yishmael might die that he prayed for him. So how does he send him just for a little lechem v'chem asmai? Avol mitnei she'amra lo Sarah she'yigaresh oto ve'edimo v'Hashem amar lo Avram, because Sarah said get rid of him and his mother, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says kol asher tomei alecha Sarah shema b'kola, do everything. Al kein shema l'kol Sarah, he actually not only listened to the letter of Sarah's request, but what else did he listen to? The spirit of Sarah's request. What does that mean, the spirit of Sarah? I couldn't care less about him.
And I'm not interested if he dies 2 days later when that lechem and chemat mayim exhaust itself. So Avram really listened to Sarah. I'm not sure that's the absolute shot, but Bachya is making that suggestion. Alkein shamal kol Sarah v'gireish oto v'etimo b'lechem v'chemat mayim hach pireish haramban. So here he's saying, I'm quoting my colleague, the Ramban. V'yitachem lomar. It perhaps can go even one step further. Ki mashigarash oto b'lechem ubemayim shiyichlol inyan acher. That it'll include another idea, which will have something with someone just said here. V'hu she'Avraham ra'a b'ma'reh ha'nivu'ah. God, Abraham saw in a prophetic vision, she'atidin banav lehishtabei tachat bidei Yishmael, that there will be a time where his children, Abraham's children, Yitzchak, will be enslaved and controlled by Yishmael. V'chi yisne'u otam sin'ah gidolah. They will hate us. She'ein uma ba'olam she'yusonim li'Yisrael kibnei Yishmael. This is just an unbelievable statement in the 13th century. In the 13th century, there is no nation in the world that hates Am Yisrael as much as the Yishmaelim. Ve'al kein Abraham hitnaheg Abraham imo kimo she'ra'ui lehitnaheg im hasoneh. Abraham treats Yishmael like you should treat somebody who despises you. V'natan lo lechem u'mayim. The bare essential. I don't kill them. God forbid. I don't kill them. But I am doing nothing to promote them. V'hu she'katuv in ra'av sonacha, if your enemy is famished, if he's thirsty, you don't have to give him a latte, which you can get between 2 and 4 for $2, a medium latte. So right after the shiur, you go straight to Dunkin' Donuts and get yourself a hot or cold latte. Tell him I sent you. What?
Wait till 2.
Wait till 2, okay. So you'll talk a little, that's all. So that's an unbelievable thing. And according to Bachya, he's putting a little spin on Avraham's attitude towards Yishmael. It was a major change. We never would ever suspect that Avraham changed his attitude towards Yishmael and begrudgingly sends him out of the house simply to fulfill the command of Sarah, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, listen to Sarah. But then the question is a good question. Why send him only with pittance? A one jug of water and a loaf of bread. Why?
Right?
Why? And he had to and that bread he baked himself, because there's no more kosher bread, so he took the bucket.
Unless
you
thought maybe there'd be another malach, because the 2 times that she left with Ishmael, either in the room or out,
right,
like there was this miracle that happened on their way.
So he assumed perhaps the malach is going
to
come. Maybe it's possible, but then.
I
understand. I'm just showing it to you. It's a perspective that we're not typically accustomed to hearing about Avraham, but a very serious, radical change. And to make that statement that the Muslims, children, are going to hate us forever and hate us with such intensity that no one else would have approximated. You know, there have been other nations of the world, you know, that have hated us perhaps worse. We've enjoyed some very good periods in our history under Muslim rule. There have been some very good times, some very poor times. Perhaps it means in terms of the length of time. You know, the Germans, they were very hateful, but
thank God it didn't last for 15 centuries. The Muslim has been an ongoing one and doesn't seem like there's much of an end coming to it. Doesn't seem much of an end coming to it. But anyhow, what prompted me to show this to you was what the fact that Bachya makes reference to our Pasuk and then says, don't think that Avram remained this way his whole life, that he's praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, oh, let Yishmael only live. He deep down says, I wouldn't mind if he drops dead in the desert. And that's why he gives him only Chemas Mayim and one shtickle pumpernickel bread. That's all. How do I know it's pumpernickel? Somebody said it. Yeah. Good. Lama gain weiter. Lama gain weiter. Yeah. The Medrash on page number 3 has a radical interpretation of Lu Yichye Yishmael Lefanav. Very radical. But it's quoted in the Medrash. That's what I showed you. On the bottom of the page, Lu Yishmael Yichle Lefanav. Amar Avraham. Eini Rotzeh Shiyitkayein Ela Yishmael. Wow. It means God said to Avraham, I don't need this child that you just promised me. The only child that I want to survive is Yishmael. I couldn't care less about Yitzchak. It's not me. It's the Medrash saying this. Heshivo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'emet Sarai Ishtecha Yoledet Lechabein. In reality, in truth, your wife Sarah is going to give birth to a child. Vikarat Shemo, I just wrote it out, those last four words, so I shouldn't have to knock down another tree. Vikarat Shemo Yitzchak, and you will call his name Yitzchak, Ki Hakol Smechim Bo. Everybody will be delighted with the birth of Yitzchak. So, first of all, the Shakaru, that the Medrash is interpreting, that that's running through Avram's mind. I ask you, what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response in the name of the Medrash? Avram is saying, please, Rabbi Nishon, I don't care about Yitzchak. What? So what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to him? And what does that really say about how the Medrash reads the phrase, Halaben mea shana yivaleh, ha'in sarah bat tishim tolid. What is the Medrash really saying is running through Avram's mind, and how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond after he said it? What do you suggest?
I think he's saying that Ishmael is going to be a father, because he's telling him that this.
So why would Avram say Halabayim, you should be the only one alive?
Because
Avraham
doesn't see it that way yet. He still
wants
to
stop. I know. So why would he say, and how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond to him with the words quoted by Medrash? Yes?
Okay, so the question, I'm a little unclear. The question is, why Hashem said this to him, or why Avraham asked for this?
No. It's shocking, why would Avraham ask for this? And how does God respond to that bizarre question?
So I'm
suggesting to you to reread the pasuk before. Reread the pasuk before. I already told you of another possibility of how to reread the pasuk before. Yeah.
It's the real thing that's kind of my wife. Is it something about the entire world will laugh at it. I never believe that child came from Sarah. There's something about that, I think.
So elaborate a little more. That what? Avraham might actually be saying the way the text reads simply, not with right. What is the word read simply?
I don't believe it.
Didn't say it out loud. He said it to himself. I am going to give birth to a child now, and my wife Sarah is going to have a birth at 90 years old.
Don't play games with me.
Don't play games with me. I don't need any games. I'm happy with whom? Happy with Shema. So don't play games with me. So how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond? How does, in the words of the Medrash, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond? I'm not joking around with you. Sarah Ishtecha, you'll let it bang. I'm not playing games with it. I mean it seriously. She's going to have a child. Therefore, there is no reason for you to say to me, don't play games. Halavai that my son Yishmael should be alive. That's all I need. Don't play games. But that's a powerful reinterpretation of the pasuk, of the previous pasuk and this pasuk in the dialogue between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avraham. Yes.
Could also be another that the Hashem says Sarah is a Jew.
Right.
And Hagar is not. So the child coming from
the
Jewish woman is the one that I would prefer.
Right? Good. 100%. No. Who's Avraham? That's God saying. Shem's, of course. No doubt. But again, the Medrash is operating that Avraham said, it's okay. Shmuel's fine, Danny, me.
Is Avraham doubting God's word?
It's according to this Medrash, it seems to that he was. And that's the way to simply read the text. Vayomer Billy Bo, Haben Neyashana. That's the way to read it. That's the simple. You can't deny it. I know the way everybody reinterprets it, that they don't want to say that Avraham denied it. But the Medrash is trying to tell you that's exactly what he had in mind. And
is it strange in the Chumash that almost seems disrespectful?
Yes, it is. It's trying to tell you that he was
that
a little,
like Hashem.
Exactly. He was a little disrespectful. Yes. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm not playing games. I promise you this is going to happen. That's what the Medrash says. I'm not saying it's the pshat of the pasuk, but it's not far from the pshat of the pasuk. Yes.
It goes back to the question of why Sarah got in trouble when she left and Adam
doesn't. Excellent. That's one of the reasons why we said there was no response on a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we also added one word in the text. It said, Vayipol al panav. So if you remember, so if he fell on his floor, prostrated himself, to do what? To thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I would have to ask the author of this medrash, how would you explain that phrase? Buddy, how would you explain that phrase?
I would ask for forgiveness.
What?
As a forgiveness, maybe, that he was
husband. But that happened before. So it's a good suggestion. If it happened afterwards, I would understand it. Yes.
How do you bring into all of this the fact that when Hagar was going to have Ishmael, an angel came to her and said, "Who you get her Adam, the Hagar could possibly have told Abraham what this angel said to her, and maybe that's why he was so fearful for Ishmael's son.
Interesting. That's interesting. That maybe Hagar told him what the Malach said. I would hope she did. And he said he's going to be Avil D'Chaya. Yad Kol Adam. That's what Per Adam means. Avil D'Chaya. Yad Kol Adam Bo. Everybody, he's going to have his hands in everybody else's kitchen, and everybody else have their hand in his kitchen. You never know what's going to happen. That's an interesting read. Yes.
God is telling him, this is not about you. This is about Sarah. In other words, I know you have your son, and you're saying that's enough, but Sarah still doesn't have a son. Sure.
Okay, good, nice, very nice. Okay, I stop here. We'll continue next Shabbat. Good. Another good week.